Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. You know our mantra each and every day. Dan and I, Dom Giordano Show, big issues, big guest. And when you can bring somebody who is stunning as a reporter, as a writer, as a courageous figure like Andy Ngo, who's been through the mill, with this group that America still won't stand up to, Antifa, well, then that's what we bring you today. Let's go to Andy Ngo here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Andy, welcome to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, your book really is encyclopedic, Andy, in talking about Antifa, but you have more direct connection to that viral moment when we saw you beaten. Talk about that moment, particularly with the police and everything else there in broad daylight. Were you surprised? I think you got milkshaked or something like that, or eggs thrown on you. And then what happened?
In the summer of 2019, while covering an Antifa protest turned riot, they turned their anger at me because I had been providing coverage that was exposing them for the violent extremists they are in Portland. And they beat me severely on the face and head, and then threw drinks and eggs and other hot objects at my face. It landed me in the hospital with a brain hemorrhage. So more than a year later now, I still haven't had any justice over that. And this just rolls over until the bigger story I'm trying to tell in unmasked, that this ascendant violent extremist domestic terrorist movement organization known as Antifa, they're not being taken seriously as a threat against our republic. And when you don't take them as a threat, you can look at what they do locally. So in Portland last year, my hometown, they rioted for more than 120 days straight. They tried to storm the federal courthouse. They brought electric power tools to cut down the fencing and brought explosives. They did things that were the same and worse than what happened at Capitol Hill. And yet those who are loudest now condemning the rioters on Capitol Hill, they were silent last year at best and at worst. They actually helped facilitate some of the funding for the riots by promoting links to crowdfunding for jail and bail funds and legal aid for those accused of heinous crimes.
Andy, I have to tell you, your book chastened me a little bit because here in Philadelphia, I'm aware of how dangerous these are, how much it's a occupation almost with these people. I'm not sure the jobs they have, because in a moment's notice, they scramble, they're there. I still see any number of them, though, as a bit ragtag here in Philadelphia. But the places that you're talking about, without a doubt, it's organized. And is there any truth to the rumor in Portland? We had it from various sources. They were using a laser in various ways, and they may have blinded some federal law enforcement.
Yes, actually, I document all that in the book. They had different brigades, essentially. This is how organized they became, because they had months and months and months, and they were allowed, actually, to build their operation space adjacent to the courthouse that they were trying to burn down. The city allowed them to do it because they viewed it as legitimate opposition to the Trump administration. So one of the factions of their army used these powerful lasers that are purchased online, they're made in China, and when shined in one's eyes, it can actually cause blindness and even permanent vision damage. So night after night, they had dozens of these people shining lights focused on one particular target. So they would pick their targets, and when you have these lasers aimed at you in every direction, you can't see. This was like, the city was really under siege. The federal officers, there were hundreds of them who had, there were hundreds of reports of very serious injuries, burns, blindness, etc. And this received really no attention. And actually, those from the people on the local city council all the way to the governor were describing these officers as an occupying army, Trump's Gestapo. And so, you know, like, them now condemning the violence that happened at the Capitol, which should be condemned, it just rings so hollow to me, because it's like, you can't be against political violence if you're only against it for the other side.
Well, that's right. And you document how organized they are. There's some organization that went on with some of the people involved, we think we know now, at the Capitol, but nothing at this level. Here's the other thing, too, Andy, I wanted to ask you, because your knowledge, again, is second to none. Black Lives Matter, part of the allure is the double meaning of that. Black lives certainly matter, but then the organization, which is Marxist, Antifa, has gotten a lot of stuff where the media that doesn't want to be curious, et cetera, like Fredo Cuomo, they say, well, they're not there to start anything. They're there to stop the fascists. That's why they're called Antifa.
Well, see, yeah, I'm glad you brought up BLM, because in 2020, we really saw this formal coalition develop between them, in that Antifa militants in their black bloc uniforms were being used essentially as volunteer security for these BLM protests. And the Antifa will also say that they're fighting for the cause of BLM. And as I document in the book, in some chapters, particularly in D.C., there is an actual, like, formal alliance that is public. But I mean, what it comes down to is the branding is very effective, in that obviously, you know, if one is critical of Black Lives Matter, the movement organization, then it's spun around as being you are against black people. If you are against Antifa, if you speak about their violent extremism, then you are being against people who are anti-fascist. And it's such, you know, this is so childish, and like, I can't believe that this type of simple manipulative branding is able to control so much of the media narrative. And I mean, that's one reason why Antifa view journalists such as myself and others and cameras in general as such a big threat to them, because it really, the camera captures what they do. And I think their biggest, what makes them so dangerous, is how effective they've been at mainstreaming tenets of their ideology. So you just said a moment ago, Antifa's message to the media is that they're just coming out to oppose fascists and white supremacists. Why do you want to stop that? Well, the underlying argument in that is then that law enforcement in the state has no legitimacy in combating, let's say, hate crimes or acts of political violence from the far right, that it's up to essentially militias of people to self-organize and to carry out killings. And we've seen with Antifa, they're very, who they cast their net very widely on who they call a fascist, right? They call me a fascist. That's why they tried to kill me. They've actually killed other people who Trump supporters. They killed somebody in Portland over the summer because he was a Trump supporter, and therefore he was a fascist in their eyes. So this is the danger we face in ceding essentially policing duties to a radical extremist movement that has the stated goal of overthrowing the government.
We're talking with Andy Ngo, author of the brand new book on Antifa, Unmasked. Andy, this New York Times reporter, I use that word advisedly, Sarah Jiang, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, has been on a rampage here the last few days talking about how dangerous you are. When I see that from her, I go, wow, I like this guy even more. We have to get him on. And calling for censorship of you on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, all these biased left-wing journalists, left-wing activists, left-wing politicians feel really empowered in that they explicitly have an ally in big tech who are willing to silence not just their political opposites, but also even the sitting president of the United States. So they feel really empowered in making calls and demands for those people who they view, I think, as competitors, those who are putting out inconvenient truths. They want them to be silenced. This particular reporter at the New York Times, she had her own scandal 2 years ago when it was unearthed on Twitter that she actually has a long history of anti-white racist inflammatory comments that were go blatantly against Twitter's policies, yet she faced no censorship, no banning for violating those rules. She views me as a threat because she's based in Portland and she's one of those journalists, so-called journalists, who find it that it's their role to defend Antifa, to whitewash their violence, and to also put out their narrative, to mainstream their narrative.
Part of the book that I really liked you drilled down on is about the training, about the template that he put out, particularly the idea of just throwing a brick through a window. I mean, it's genius that anybody can do that. And how the media buys into this idea, hey, we're talking about something serious, big issues here, but Black Lives Matter too. Property is secondary to that. If you get burned out and you're a small business, you're just collateral damage. But talk about the throwing the brick through the window, having the chutzpah to be able to do that.
So in Portland, we've had now four riots since New Year's Eve that have received no attention. We actually had a riot on the same day as the Capitol Hill riot. And at these gatherings, one big part of the radicalization that occurs in the recruitment of new members to Antifa is through the literature. So one of the most popular radical pamphlets that they distribute openly, they did that in Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle, is called Why We Break Windows. And in it, these compress these sort of so-called intellectualized arguments into something that's very easy for somebody to understand. And it makes this argument, which has been mainstream now on the left last year, that lives over property, property can be replaced, capitalism is linked to white supremacy and racism, so therefore the targeting of businesses, banks, small businesses, hurting them may be uncomfortable for the community in the meantime, but it serves the greater goal of destroying capitalism, which means just destroying racism and fascism. So they actually intellectualize their arguments, and in their eyes, they think they're doing something good. And that's what makes them so dangerous and why some of them are actually willing to kill for the cause, because they really think that they are fighting for something righteous, and they're facing really no opposition from not just politicians, but even law enforcement, in my opinion, has been made feckless in breaking up these gang and criminal networks. It's, you know, this is my one disappointment with the, one big disappointment with the DOJ, is that the tools in the past that have been used to break up the mafia and other types of similar networks, organized criminals, they should have been used.
That is a great point about how to defeat them. I am so angry over that too. And the FBI, every time I see Christopher Wray say, hey, this isn't organized, it's nothing like that, it's just ragtag. Hey, take a look at this book. Just take a look at this book for even a half hour, Christopher Wray. You must know about it. A guy who's lived through this, I'm sure. It's very uncomfortable for you to travel wherever you go if they know you're coming, running into it. And you're telling me this isn't organized? If he were in Portland or someplace like that, what a disgraceful operation to come to that conclusion. The coverage, I've never been to Portland to see this up close. I've seen it in Philadelphia. And even here, they seem to be dominant. Wanted to ask you a question. Some listeners, I'm not in this camp, and even if they did, it doesn't excuse or explain the attack on the Capitol. Did you have any sense that Antifa was involved in that? Do they do things like that? Do you see any evidence of that?
There's a lot of speculation out and people who are analyzing the videos and all that. I've withheld judgment because, you know, I think making that type of speculation openly without confirmed evidence would be reckless. But I will say that at least one of the individuals I did identify who was in the Capitol during the siege was somebody who was involved with radical BLM activism in Utah and actually had been arrested and charged over a violent riot in Utah last summer where there was a shooting. And he was there and he's been on record video calling for a violent revolution against the Trump administration. So I will say that. At the same time, I think as readers read the book, we need to be very careful that Antifa doesn't just become a bogeyman that's blamed for everything. And I think one thing I try to outline in the book is the tools for being able to identify them so that you can more properly identify who's a part of it, part of this movement.
I have to say, you know, you just didn't take that personal experience and then just talk about that throughout the book. That's why it's moving. This is a textbook almost on exactly what's going on with this and calls attention to it. Now, the book, I'm told, will be released on February 2nd, right, 2021?
Yes.
Where do we order in advance? Amazon, I guess. Is there a website? What else should we do, Andy?
It's available wherever books are sold currently. For
yeah, not at Powell's in Portland, apparently. Yeah, right. Yeah,
correct. There's been efforts to get it banned, and there's been some success in that. So I guess order it while you still can.
All right. Well, Andy, thank you. Thanks for joining us. To be continued. And congratulations on a very insightful book.
Thank you very much.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.